morning. You're listening to 100.9 FM Perth, throughout Perth and the metropolitan area, and also heard throughout Australia as well. And that's on the network, also the Packham network, on our network right across the northern parts of Australia. That's good, isn't it? You're with Jeremy Garnett here, and of course, today is a quite important program we're touching on, and it is immunisation. And I'd like to make a welcome right here in the studios is that's Paley Holsworth, who's the policy officer with the health department. Good to be with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And of course, Paley Burrows. Now, you've been in the studios before here at 100.9 FM. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah. And of course, the topic we're going to touch on is immunisation. It's pretty important in the community, and it is a message that needs to be put out there in the community, and our community particularly, and of course, the mainstream community as well. Paley Holsworth, tell us about the importance of getting that message out in the community.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's really important to get the message out. And immunization, basically, as I said, it almost is a bit of an insurance policy. What it does is you get a vaccine that's usually delivered through a needle, either in your arm or your leg, depending how old you are when you receive it. And what that does, what happens in your body when you actually get the vaccine, is it allows your body to develop antibodies, or, as I say, just soldiers, basically, against the germ. So a vaccine will contain either a live or a weakened or killed bacteria or virus, whichever causes that illness. So let's say for measles, it will contain a bit of the measles, and it will actually, as your body, as you get immunized, what actually happens is it causes your body to develop the antibodies to the disease, but because you're not actually experiencing the whole measles disease itself, you don't experience the complications and the negative side effects of the disease, but at the same time you develop the antibodies to protect yourself. The other thing about immunization is that it also allows your body to have the memory then. Once you've developed those antibodies, they sit waiting. Should you ever travel someplace where measles is more common than what it is in Australia or even in WA, if you travel to other parts of the country, and you're exposed to measles, your body kind of picks up that memory cells. You know, it comes back up, yes. and it protects you from getting too ill with the disease. So you may still get the disease, but you definitely will not get it as severely as if you weren't vaccinated.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, when you think of that. And Stacey Burrows, your immunisation coordinator with the Aboriginal Health Coordination of WA, tell us about what the Aboriginal Health Council of WA, tell us about the importance of that within the Aboriginal community.
Yeah, so it's very important to get vaccinated if you're an Aboriginal person, just because unfortunately Aboriginal people are susceptible to more diseases, unfortunately. So, so my role at the Aboriginal Health Council of WA is to provide training for Aboriginal health workers so they are able to immunise, which is great.
Yeah, and how do you do that?
So I go out to the different regions or wherever is requiring the training, and we do a two-week course. So that's everything from health promotion to the science behind why we immunise and the side effects and how to actually deliver the immunisation as well, so how to administer it. So by the end of the 2 weeks, the students have done both practical and theory assessments, and they're able to deliver immunisations to the community.
Yeah. What are the immunisation rates amongst young people within the community and our particular community as well?
So we're very fortunate in WA. The last quarter we had one of the best immunisation rates we've had for children under 5, which is 93.4%. We really want to, although that's a really good rate, we really want to work towards 95%, which means that we want 95% of the people who are eligible to receive the vaccine, so in this case kiddies under 5, we want 95% of them to have the vaccination and all the vaccines up to date, because then what we get what we call herd immunisation. immunity, which means that we've got such a good number of the population already vaccinated and protected against the disease, that should diseases come in, you know, we travel a lot these days, and through, you know, overseas travelers, family that's visiting, etc., it doesn't have the opportunity to spread because so many people are already protected against it. The other point I'd like to make with regards to vaccination rates, in Australia, we measure vaccination rates for kiddies under five at three age points. So at 1 year old, around 1.5 year old, and then just before they turn 5 years old. What we find in this stats, if you look at the rates for children who are Aboriginal versus non-Aboriginal children, when they're really young, so at the 1.5 year age group particularly, and even before they turn 12 months, so at 2, 4, and 6 months of age, you'll actually find that children who are Aboriginal are not getting the vaccines they should be getting.
Why is that?
So, well, what we actually find, I'll just finish my point, is that as they go older, though, children who are Aboriginal are actually more up to date with their vaccinations than their non-Aboriginal children. So we're actually finding that the trend kind of reverses as they grow older, which then tells us that Aboriginal families or the community generally is supportive of immunization. They understand the importance of it. So going back to your question about why do I think or do we think that the rates are lower in the Aboriginal community when the kiddies are younger, it might be due to a whole range of factors. It might be that, you know, you're quite busy, your children are young, you've got lots of things happening, large families, work gets in the way, you know, life gets in the way, you've all got appointments you don't quite make, so it might just be that. But it makes us feel pretty comfortable that the support for immunization is there. That's the main thing.
And Stacey, with the education that you're embarking on or doing within the Aboriginal community, how is the importance of that, the importance of vaccinations and these rates also within the community as well?
Yeah, it's very important. The Aboriginal health workers in the Aboriginal medical services are the front line, so they're the ones that can really push the immunizations and deliver them as well. So Aboriginal health practitioners we have trained up, the more they can immunise the community. So not just in the metro area, but the rural and remote as well.
Yeah, and the training component in that as well. What's the importance of that to get them to go out when they go out of the community as well? To sort of what are they looking for?
So during the training, the students are taught everything. So everything from side effects from the vaccine. So if something does go wrong, which is very rare, they know exactly what to do. So so like I said, the training is very thorough, and the students come out of it feeling very competent, and we're on standby if they ever need anything anyway. So
Do you think there's some fear factor when it comes to doing this, vaccinations and going out to the community as well to break down those fears?
I don't think so.
I think the fact that, you know, vaccines are delivered through needles, I think maybe quite a few people may have that fear of needles and things like that. And in fact, sometimes you may, you know, with really young children, sometimes the parent can be more anxious or nervous about it than the child themselves, because the children may not know exactly what's going on. So it's really important for especially new parents, young parents, if it's your child's first immunization visit, that you remain calm. You know, you're with a health professional, your Aboriginal health worker, your doctor, your nurse, whoever is giving your child that needle is aware of what they're doing. They've done it before. So it's about if you maintain a calm, you know, relaxed way, they might ask you to maybe hold your child in a certain position. So that, you know, they might. Yeah. So if you just follow their instructions and everything, it'll be fine. But
My daughter does the vaccinations in the community as well. And she's always have a bear.
distraction
technique as well.
Yeah.
And the fear factor what's happening here.
Mm. And I think Pally was saying earlier as well that the Aboriginal community is very aware of you know what can happen if you don't have your immunisation.
Yeah,
so it's almost like
a bit of pain
for a long-term gain. So
And what are the immunisation rates? Well, we did looked at immunisation rates for young people, but of course, people get older, and do they still need to be vaccinated in some cases?
Most definitely. So the WA immunization schedule is it's basically a schedule that tells you from all the different age groups which vaccines you're eligible to receive. So those are the government funded vaccines. And so you'd have majority of the vaccinations are given in childhood. So that's a good point you raise. A lot of people may assume that vaccination is just limited to when you're, you know, before school, etc. But that's not necessarily true. You actually, as you grow into adolescence, so when you're going to high school, when you're in year 8, you're also eligible to receive a booster dose of your diphtheria, tetanus and pertussis vaccine, and also the HPV or the human papilloma virus vaccine. So in WA we deliver both those vaccines at year 8. And we also have recently started the year 10 program where you can get the meningococcal ACWY vaccine. As you grow even older, every year you're eligible for a flu vaccine, an influenza vaccine. So that's one of the vaccines that stands a little bit aside in that you need to get a dose every year.
And on that subject, what about what year, what sort of, say for instance, the month, I gather, I think of April, May, June, July, and of course those susceptible moments in your, in the month. It's important, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, the flu and cold.
Most definitely, exactly. You hit the nail on the head there. So flu is more common in the colder months, so in winter. So that's you look out the window and you see, you know, it's getting cooler. That's when you're due to get your flu vaccine. So I would probably recommend a flu vaccine. You get it late May, June. That's a good time of the year to get the flu vaccine, because what happens is with vaccinations, once you get the vaccine, it takes around 2 weeks to when you really, your body, as I said, you know, develops those antibodies, those soldiers. It takes around 2 weeks for you to then have the protection that you gain from that vaccine. So you want to get it in time from when flu season really hits, which is mid-June onwards.
Yeah. Another subject is, what about my children? And I've got some young children too as well. And I need to know when these vaccinations are, when they're updated, you know. What should I be looking at when it comes to making sure that it's updated?
So if you are unaware of your child's immunisation status, you can pop into the AMS or your local GP service or the immunisation clinic and ask them to have a check on AIR, which is the Australian Immunisation Register, and on there it logs all the immunisation your child would have had. So they can check to make sure you're up to date, or if you need to catch up on any immunisations. There's also a number you can call, which is 1-800-653-809, and that's the AIR number, so they can, you can give them your Medicare details and the child's name and they can have a look as well.
And I think, Stacey, I did speak to you before regarding people having a book. You know,
yes,
there's
yeah.
a book that's,
yep.
that's available, but also online too, for what I understand.
Yeah,
you spoke to me about that on the last program.
Yep, so that AIR is online, so practitioners can have a look online and check the status. But yeah, like you said, the purple book all babies get when they're born.
Yep.
And at the back of the book, there's the schedule, and the nurse or Aboriginal health worker will sign that off as they're given. So you can have a look in the back of the book too.
Yeah. And would it be important to be, is it important for communities to understand that MyGov is also another way of through the health system as well?
Yeah, through the Medicare icon, so they can log on that way as well.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to a break at the moment right here on Health Matters, and Paley Holsworth and, of course, Stacey Burrows, thanks very much. We'll go to a bit of a music break, and we'll touch on a number of other topics that we need to talk about right here on Noongar Radio.
We're looking for volunteers here at Noongar Radio, so if you're interested in media and have some time up your sleeve, get in touch with us on 9228-0606 during office hours, or flick us an email, info@noongarradio.com, or message us on Facebook. So from behind the scenes to producing, researching to broadcasting, get involved with your award-winning station, 100.9 FM, Noongar Radio.
Feeling I can't deny the heat intense.
You're listening to 100.9 FM, broadcasting throughout Perth and the metropolitan area. And, of course, broadcasting on the Packham network, as well as other stations throughout Australia. And the topic we're discussing is immunisation. And of course, here, the two guests in the studio is Stacey Burrows and Paley Holsworth. And, Paley, you're from you're a policy and planning officer with the Department of Health. Nice to have you on board.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And you too.
Oh, thanks, Jeremy.
And immunisation, a topic that we're talking about as well, and we talk about what are other immunisation programs out there in the community and vaccinations that we should consider and be aware of within the community.
So a lot of the one that's been in the media lately is the meningococcal vaccine campaign that was released recently. So at the moment, all babies under five, so 12 months to 5 years or less than 5 years, have access to the free meningococcal vaccine. And then we're also promoting it in the year 10s and also the teenagers from 15 to 19 as well.
Yeah.
That's correct. I'm really pleased to have this vaccine program for WA. I think it's really good that we're able to protect so many different age groups against this disease. The meningococcal ACWY, that's four strains of the meningococcal disease. Now, it's quite rare, this disease. It's not very common. Yeah. But the unfortunate thing about this disease is even though it's rare, if you do get it, it can be life-threatening. And that's why we want to make sure that people are well protected through vaccination to avoid even getting the disease in the first place. So we have had our rates of the strains, particularly the W strain, has gone up quite significantly over the last year in WA, in the last 2 years, in fact. So we had 46 cases in WA in 2017, and of those, six were fatal. So six people died from the disease last year. And we also have high rates of that disease in the Northern Territory as well, in our neighbouring states. So that's particularly important for people who are travelling within states. You know, you may think that it's not something that we have here, but it's actually quite quite a few cases in the Northern Territory, and they also have a very similar program to protect their community against it.
Yeah. Another question, which is not on the sheet here, the question is basically, what if I want to go overseas and my children travelling overseas, is it important to be vaccinated?
Yes. My main piece of advice if you're travelling overseas with regards to getting vaccinations is getting them with plenty of time before you travel.
Oh, that's
sometimes people may go to a travel doctor or to their GP and they'll say, okay, I'm going to whichever country it is. Oh, when are you travelling? Oh, tomorrow is my flight.
Yeah.
And although it's good to get vaccinated, but as I said earlier, it takes roughly 2 weeks from when you get the vaccine for your body to develop that level of immunity. So that is roughly how much you want to give time before you actually travel.
Stacey Burrows, now what about the community? Now, if you're talking about the Aboriginal community, let's talk about the health workers. You're telling the health workers these processes and giving them some advice on this?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with the new meningococcal vaccine, all around the state is aware of it. All the Aboriginal medical services are aware of it, and they have access to all the vaccines at their service. So if you are contemplating, or we do encourage you to get your children vaccinated, pop in wherever you can and get it done.
And where can that be?
Like I said, the Aboriginal Medical Services or your local GP or the immunisation clinic.
Yeah, and it's important to getting people to ask about things too as well, even if it's not an Aboriginal medical service, to ask the question. You know, and that is important. And information would be provided too.
Most definitely. I mean, as I said, a lot of vaccinations are provided during childhood. And if you're a parent of a young child, you may find that you find yourself in a doctor's office quite often. You know, you have coughs and colds and things like that. So you do tend to visit a medical service reasonably often with your young child. And even if you're going for any reason, you know, that's not to do with vaccinations, it's always worth just asking, can you please check my child's immunization? Are they up to date? And your doctor provider, your Aboriginal health worker, can easily look it up in our national database so that if your child is due for or overdue for certain vaccinations, they can catch them, you know, catch them up while you're there, even if it's for, you know, something else that you're there for.
Yeah. Okay, let's recap on what we've discussed, and I think it's pretty important. And immunisation is so important. It's also important to sort of have the up-to-date information as well, but also relying on what's in the computer as well to get that information across when it comes to the information of having the book, which is important to say, well, this is the book that the vaccinations that took place, and to inform the doctors of that.
Most definitely. I mean, there's a whole range of places, as Stacey specified, about how you can find out whether your child is overdue or up to date for their vaccinations. You can call the Australian Immunisation Register. You can check my gov account. But it's just as simple as the next time you go to your GP or your provider, for whatever reason, you can just ask them as well. They can easily look it up for you. So there's a variety of ways in which you can check your child's history.
Yeah. And vaccinations also protect against many serious infections.
Most definitely. And actually, one particular one that I'd like to highlight is the human papillomavirus, or HPV, vaccine. So as I mentioned earlier, we provide that vaccine at the year 8, both for boys and girls.
Yeah.
We've been offering it for boys since 2013 in WA.
Yeah.
And this year, that vaccine we are using a different vaccine, which you only require 2 doses of it. So previously we had a vaccine where you needed to get 3 doses to be fully protected. And now you only need the 2. And this vaccine covers more strains of the virus as well. So we do find that the disease rates for HPV are higher amongst the Aboriginal population, particularly Aboriginal women. Because once you get this virus in your body, it's a precursor or a trigger, I guess you could say, for cervical cancer, head and neck cancers, etc. So Aboriginal women in particular are quite vulnerable to this disease. So it's really important, not just for girls, but girls and boys, to receive the vaccine and get both doses, because then you're really well protected.
And Stacey, the First Nation communities, the importance of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think on that point as well, it's also really important to mention immunisations in pregnant women. So pregnant women, we do advise that they get their whooping cough vaccine and also their influenza or their flu vaccine as well during pregnancy. This is really important, not just to protect mum, but also protects bub before they get their 2-month immunisation. So it protects them for that first 2 months of life, which is when they're quite vulnerable.
Mm. And, of course, getting that message is an important process too.
Definitely.
Go out there with the health workers as well, which you as an educator as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the Aboriginal health workers, they're trained to do this as well, and they're really encouraged to promote immunisation.
Yeah. And of course we looked at schools as well, and just recap on the subject of younger people at schools. In within schools, and the importance of vaccinations.
Oh yes, most definitely. So within the school program, currently we have, you could say, 2 vaccination programs. Mm-hmm. So one is offered in year 8.
Yeah.
And that's offered throughout Australia. In certain states, it's offered in year 7. In WA, it's offered in year 8. So in that year, your child will be able to receive the diphtheria, tetanus and pertussis vaccine. Yeah. Now, that is a booster dose. They would have received 3 doses of them when they were younger.
Yeah.
But with some vaccines, after a period of time, your immunity or your protection will go down or will wane. So what we do is we give you another boost of it in year 8 so as to pick up the protection against those diseases. And you also get the HPV, or the human papillomavirus, vaccine in year 8. And then in year 10, at the moment, you're eligible for the meningococcal ACWY vaccine, as Stacey said. So that's a vaccine that protects you against 4 strains of the meningococcal disease. And particularly strain W we've seen quite a rise of that in WA, as well as in the Northern Territory and other parts of Australia in the last year. So it's particularly important to get protected.
Yeah, and of course, being at a certain age, is there any consent forms that need to be done?
Yes, so with both years, in years 8 and 10, because these vaccinations are given in school, usually the parents are not there, obviously, when the child's being vaccinated. So you actually get your consent form at the start of the year, around now.
Yeah.
Now that we're back in the swing of things in 2018, you'll get your school pack, a consent form that you should take home you know, to, a child will take home, and if you could, just the parents just fill it in, take which vaccines you consent to, sign it, and then send it back with your child. That will make sure that the school nurses don't miss your child out when they come in to give the vaccines.
Yeah, and of course it's important for parents to I suppose it's their obligation to sort of have these this information maybe on the fridge or somewhere it can be accessed.
Most definitely, quite a few schools actually will send an SMS to the parent or an email to the parent when the nurses are going to come, just to kind of to make sure they say, you know, make sure you give your child a good breakfast because today's vaccination day.
Yeah.
So that's another reminder, because you do sign the consent forms at the start of the year, but these vaccinations can be administered throughout the school year.
Yeah, and of course, would the schools have some sort of a register of how many kids were vaccinated at that particular time?
Yeah, so whoever's doing the vaccinations would implement them or would enter them into the immunisation register, which we were talking about earlier. So if you're not sure if your child missed their school vaccine or they're not sure if they've had it or not yet, again, you can check that register to see if they are up to date.
Yeah, and could that be accessible for mums?
So like you were saying, Jeremy, they can go onto the government website or pop into their local GP or AMS, or give that number a call.
And there's been some recent developments in vaccinations, pretty important.
Yes, that's right. Our main two recent developments, particularly in WA, are the expansion or offering the meningococcal vaccine for children aged between about 12 months to just under 5 years of age. That program was launched very recently in WA. So, and the second recent development we've had is with the HPV vaccine, going from 3 to 2 doses. But as I said, it also covers more strains of the vaccine. So it's really important, particularly in the Aboriginal community, to receive those vaccines.
Yeah. Let's talk about where can they get those vaccinations and vaccines.
Yeah, so people can go to their local Aboriginal medical services. So we've got 4 here in the metro area, the Durbal Yerrigan services. Or if you're outside of WA, there's also Aboriginal medical services around there. Or you can just go to your local GP, or there's the central immunisation clinic. Or you can just go to community immunisation clinics too.
Yeah. Now, what about the mums and dads? They're probably out there going, oh, my kids missed it. what should I do now?
No worries. Even for the school vaccinations, which are mainly offered by the school nurses in your child's school, if your child was absent on the day or wasn't feeling well and they didn't receive the vaccine, that's not a problem. AMSs, the Aboriginal Medical Services, and GPs also stock vaccines that are delivered through the school program. So you can easily just go to your GP and get that vaccine.
So information is readily available. Well, let's go for a break right here. And this is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, broadcasts right around Perth in the metropolitan area and throughout Australia on the Packham Network.
I'm Neil Coyne, and you're listening to 100.9 Noongar Radio.
So good. You're listening to 100.9 FM, Perth. That's right, Perth in the metropolitan area. And as I mentioned, broadcasting right around the Packham network and everywhere throughout Australia. Isn't it nice to know that, you know, we're out there? This is Jeremy Garnett, and the program here is Health Matters, and immunisation is a topic that we're talking about today, and the importance of immunisation, and putting that message across within the community, within our community, is Stacey Burrows. Putting that message and you know, out there is an important key to healing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, Jeremy. I think another major point as well is when you get your immunisations and you're up to date with your immunisations, you're not just protecting yourself, but you're protecting the whole community, your whole local community. So it's really, really important, especially for those that are too young to get immunised, and also people that may be too sick to be immunised. So if the more people that get immunised in the community, the stronger stronger it is.
Yeah. And also, compared to the city, to the country, it's the same, isn't it? You know, when exactly. when you're looking at country locations, it's really still important.
It is very much so, Jeremy. The other thing I'd like to mention, sometimes, especially with the flu vaccine in particular, you may feel if you're, you know, young, fit and healthy and yes. a working age, and you think, I'm not going to get sick, I don't need that vaccine. But what you really need to keep in mind is when you go home, do you see your grandma? Do you have young children? And that's where you may not really get the illness, but pass it on to those who are vulnerable. And as Stacey said, you know, if you're someone who's maybe having treatment for cancer and they're having chemotherapy, etc., they're not eligible to receive vaccines, and their immunity is particularly low. So you can actually transfer bugs to them, even though you yourself may feel, you know, you're not going to get sick.
And of course, Stacey, our families are sort of extended families, large families.
Exactly.
And what happens when that happens, when we have a large family in a particular house and a home, and housing and all that? Tell us about that extended families and how important to put this message across to our extended members who are listening to Noongar Radio now.
So the large groups of families is wonderful, but it also means that bugs can jump across from people a lot more easily. So like Pally was saying, that the ones that can get immunised, if they do get immunised, it will protect the ones in the family group that can't get, so that the elderly or the ones that are not well, or the very young ones. So which is why, and it's another reason why we introduced, we've got vaccines for Aboriginal people, so additional vaccines, because of this reason. So there is high density living and big family groups, so they've got additional vaccines for that reason.
Yeah. And of course, the importance of the liaison officers to go within the communities to also to make contact with families is an important process too, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
And what sort of message that you put across to them?
I guess the Aboriginal liaison officers, they also promote the importance of immunisation, especially in Aboriginal people, and in all people, of course. But because, as you were mentioning, the high density living and the big family groups, it is crucial for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another point to add with regards to, you know, big family groups and living in close proximities, a lot of diseases that are protected through vaccination are transferred through coughing, through sneezing.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
if if you're very close to each other, you know, you need at least a meter's a gap. And it's not just where you live. You can be on the bus, on the train, traveling around. And, you know, so when you do, if you have to sneeze, it's preferable that you sneeze into your elbow. The reason for that is so that you don't sneeze into your hands, because then you touch door handles and things like that. And some of these bacteria and viruses, they're pretty smart. They can live for quite a few hours on cold substances like door handles, pens that you use to sign documents with, etc. So hand washing is particularly important, and making sure that you be aware of these things in close proximity. If you're not really well, to keep yourself away from those who are highly vulnerable, like newborn babies, especially with pertussis or the whooping cough. If you've got a cough, or anybody in your family has a cough, if you've got a new baby, as Stacey said, you know, hopefully as the mother was pregnant, she received the vaccine, which will protect the child, but it's still important not to have close proximity with sick family members.
Yeah. I was speaking to a good doctor, a good friend of mine, and he was saying, it's the simple things that you can do when it comes to health and hygiene, and of course washing of hands. I remember years ago working in a general ward where there's, we didn't think of that, and to having a hand wash and the importance of hand washing, and even the very practical things to do. We've got running water in most homes. Mm-hmm. The importance of that.
That's right. I mean, good old soap and water. You know, it's not overly complex. Yes, over the years that these viruses and bugs have, as I said, they're very smart.
They're able to mutate
and they're able to survive in harsher and harsher conditions. But the main thing is to protect yourself. It's amazing, especially with children. We see that, don't we, where their hands go everywhere and everything gets into their mouths.
Yeah.
So that's why it's particularly important. Especially after changing nappies, before preparing food, things like that, that you really do want to make sure that everybody gets into the habit of just washing your hands with soap and water. You don't need anything fancy, but that's particularly important in protecting transmission of diseases.
And cross infections too.
Exactly.
Well, you're almost coming to an end of the program. We've still got a couple of minutes to go, but we can recap on some of the things we've touched on. Stacey, the program that's going is pretty successful from what I understand, the immunisation program. You're a coordinator with the Aboriginal Council of WA. Of course, the importance of putting the message across not only to health workers but other workers as well within the sector.
Yeah, definitely. So vaccinations and immunisations is massive across our Aboriginal medical services. We really encourage it. It is promoted, but like I said, I think the front line is the Aboriginal health workers and practitioners. So upskilling them and getting them trained to immunise, I think it's going to be a fantastic move forward.
Yeah.
And exciting news, it is nationally accredited now, which is very well done on Pally's team, which is very exciting going forward.
And some of the people that you're working with, not only in programs here, but they're also throughout the whole state.
So we've got programs happening sort of all over the state. I'm going up to Port Hedland in a few weeks to deliver the training up there, so we'll have more immunisation providers up in Hedland.
Can I come with you?
It's pretty wet up there, I think, at the moment, Jeremy. I don't know if you want to come.
it's just the weather's going to change down this way.
Yeah.
But, the importance of getting the not only the information across, but to liaise within the communities, to have that conversation, that dialogue.
Yeah.
And to have that process is pretty important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And the skilling as well.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Mm. Most definitely, I agree. I mean, Stacey's travelled throughout the state to provide education to Aboriginal health workers who work within the AMS or the community controlled sector. But you're right, every opportunity that health providers, whether you're an Aboriginal liaison officer, a health worker, a doctor, a nurse, to have conversations with your patients, regardless of what they come in for. They could come in with a sore ankle, but you just want to make sure, are you up to date? Did you receive your flu vaccine this year, if it's the flu vaccine period? So it's particularly important. And also amongst families, for those, you may receive some flu vaccinations at work. It's important to have that conversation with your older relatives. Have they got their flu vaccinations? You also can receive the pneumococcal vaccine and importantly, the shingles vaccine as well, if you're between 70 and 79 years of age.
Oh, that's a new one.
In WA.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that's, we've had that program for a little while now, and it's Commonwealth funded. So it's a, you just get the one dose of the shingles vaccine if you're between 70 and 79 years of age. And that protects you the shingles, I'll just go back a little bit. The shingles disease is actually, if you've had the chickenpox disease,
yeah.
It sits in your spine or in your backbone, and then you can trigger yourself from getting the shingles disease as well from that. And that's, for those who have had it, you'll never forget it. It's actually a very painful disease because it's linked to your nerves or your dermatome. So you'll see sometimes you get a rash on one side of your body.
Yeah.
So it follows the paths of your nerves. Some people may get it in their face, in their eye, or in their trunk is the most common place that you'd get it. It makes you feel really quite unwell. It's a little bit, for those of you who've had chickenpox, you can feel that you get high temperatures. But don't forget, it affects those who are older, who are already maybe have weakened immune systems. And so one of the significant complications we need to consider when thinking about shingles is what we call post-herpetic neuralgia, or basically where you can have weakened muscles due to the fact that your nerves have been affected by the disease. So to avoid that complication, have the shingles vaccine.
Yeah, yeah. What are some of the proactive things that we could do, which is pretty important? Again, it's about cleanliness, and not only that, but it's about general hygiene in some way. Is it an important process to also treatment as well?
Very much, you know. So treatment is always, it's always better not to get sick in the first place, and how you can protect yourself against that is number one, through vaccination. And number two, through, as we talked about, hand hygiene. Number three is through being aware. As I said, a lot of these diseases are transmitted through coughing, sneezing. So if you were to sneeze into your hand or cough into your hand and then hold your child's hand as you're crossing the street, now your child's, you know, they may then put their hand into their mouth and you could easily transmit something as easily as that. So it's being aware of etiquette. If you do need to cough and sneeze, as I say, into your inner elbow is best, because it keeps your hands free and protected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Stacey, the education is not only necessarily for Aboriginal Medical Services, but outside to other agencies.
Yeah, it's everybody.
So what are you doing in that area?
I guess health promotion is the best thing. Also even within families. So if you have a newborn baby, try not to be shy and say if someone's sick that maybe wait till the visitor to wait until they're better to come and visit the baby. It may seem a little bit rude, but it's worth it. You don't
That's
want your baby
point,
getting
isn't
sick.
It? Because,
yeah.
Everyone wants to see the baby.
Yeah, and everyone coos and cuddles and kisses and that's lovely, but you don't want Bubba getting sick. So don't feel embarrassed or rude saying, you know, just wait till you're feeling a little bit better, then come over. And if you are the person that's sick, just wait till you are feeling better to
I suppose it's important for mums to have that awareness. They, you know, sometimes they don't have that awareness, and it comes back again to education, to let people know about these things.
Very much so. And as Stacey talked about, getting some vaccines, you're eligible for some when you're pregnant, which is the flu and the whooping cough or pertussis vaccine.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say in WA, we are leading not just the country but the world in our rates of pregnant women receiving the whooping cough vaccine. So we're doing a really good job there. But as usual, there's still work ahead of us. So I think the message is getting through to our pregnant women. And that's thanks to a lot of our obstetricians, our midwives in the hospitals, our GPs and AMSs. So just keep up the good work, but we need to spread the message further.
Yeah. Let's tell you what, time is really flying, and there's amazing stuff we're touching on too as well, and a lovely conversation, because that we need to do. And what would you like to tell the people who are listening in? And there are people that are in prisons too as well. That's one of the things that is an important process of vaccinations and immunisation. And what would you like to tell our audience out there?
I think my key point is protect yourself and your community and get immunised.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, have a check. Check to your GP or your Aboriginal health worker and see if you are up to date.
So let's recap on some of those numbers. The Aboriginal Medical Service is probably number one here in Perth.
Yeah, so you can pop in there, or you can call the Australian Immunisation Register, which is 1-800-653-809.
Yep.
Yes, my take-home message would definitely be immunization is for everyone. It's not just for your young kiddies. As you go throughout life, whether you're pregnant, as you get older, there are different vaccines that are specifically that you'd be eligible for. Think about the environment. As you mentioned, people in prisons, you know, you go to school in a classroom. These are crowded environments. So just consider, wash your hands, be aware of distance, and if you're not feeling well, as Stacey said, keep away from those who are vulnerable, like those who are sick, undergoing maybe treatment for cancer or any other conditions that make your immunity weaken, and young children.
Yeah. Well, thank you to ladies for coming into the studios of 100.9 FM and talking about immunisation, and Paley Holsworth, you're the Policy Officer and Planning Officer with the Department of Health, and also Stacey Burrows. Thank you very much again for coming in the studio. You're a bit of an old hand at this moment. And you're the Immunisation Coordinator, Aboriginal Health Council of WA.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you both for coming into the studio and having this conversation.
Thanks.
So where are you going, my love? Where are you going, my love? Did you fly way too high across the southern skies? So where are you going, my love? been broken down in Erskineville. There were times when I did not see stars. I saw people walking by me, no one's looking at me. Where are you going, my love? Silent smiles break through the broken windows, and freedom follows where rest lies in wait. And the shining of a new light, the old one lays to die. Where are you going, my love? So where are you going, my love? Where are you going, my love? Did you fly way too high across the southern sky? Where are you going, my love? And all the days eventually turns to night, and the shadows will be crawling where the night sky shifts and drifts. So where are you going, my love?